Beginning, Genesis chapter 32. Well, not the exact beginning, but Genesis chapter number 32. And the thrust of the message today is to provide us with some encouragement. And the title in the bulletin is Not Letting Go, or Don't Let Go. Jacob said it this way: I will not let thee go. I want you to pick up with me. We're going to read several verses here kind of sporadically. Chapter 31. We're going to read verse number 3 first, then we'll go back to 32. 31 in verse number 3. And notice the Bible says, "The Lord said unto Jacob, Return unto the land of thy fathers and to thy kindred, and I will be with thee." Jacob here in chapter number 31 is being directed by God away from Laban's house to go back home. He's been gone for some time now, and recall the last time he was at home, he swindled his brother out of the birthright. And he lied to his father and left and went down to Paddan Aram and got a wife, and now he's got two wives, and he's got two concubines, and he's got several children. Come over to chapter number 32. By the time you come over to chapter number 32, it dawns on Jacob that he has got to go back home and face his brother. And it was great leaving his uncle Laban, because Laban was a trickster, so he was glad to get out of that. But in his travels, it hit him. Laban ain't so bad. At least Laban didn't want to kill me. Now I got to go home and face Esau. Glad to get away from Laban, but I really don't want to face Esau. And it hits him that he's got to do that. And so he comes up with several schemes and elaborate plans on how to appease his brother. Then come down with me to verse number 26. The angel of the Lord is beginning to wrestle with him. And it says down there, notice verse number 24, if you would. It said, "And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him." That man was the Lord Jesus Christ. And before he came to this earth and until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, or the hip socket area. And the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. Pretty hard to wrestle when your hip's broken, amen? Yes, sir. And he said, now again, get the picture, they're wrestling. They're clasped together. Jacob has him, he has Jacob. And he said, "Let me go." That's the angel of the Lord, which is the Lord. "For the day breaketh," and he said, that's Jacob, "I will not let thee go except thou bless me." He said, "I'm not going to let you go unless you bless me. I've got to go face my brother. I've just finished with Laban, and you've blessed me there. I'm about to go and see my brother. I'm not going to let you go until you bless me." My encouragement to you is don't let go until God bless you, and then don't let go after that. Get another blessing, and get blessing after blessing after blessing after blessing for 2017. Don't let go. Don't let go. His circumstances here are very bleak. He doesn't know what to expect when he sees his brother. You don't know what to expect in 2017. I'm here to tell you, we need the blessings of God.
Yes, sir, we do.
"I will not let thee go except thou bless me." May God give us the determination and the will to say, "Lord, I'm not going to let go. I'm not going to let go. A lot of things can happen, Lord, but I'm not going to let go." I don't know about you, but I'm not going to let go. Where else were we going to go? Like Peter, where else am I going to go? Only thou hast the words of eternal life. Don't let go in 2017. No matter what happens, don't let go. Father, help us today to sense the heart of God. Lord, as we look at Jacob, and our circumstances may not be as devastating as Jacob's. We may not have someone that's trying to kill us. But Lord, we don't know what 2017 is going to hold. And one thing we do know is that we need to hold on to you. Lord, you are not only filled with blessings, Lord, you are the blesser. And oh God, that we should rather desire to have the blesser than the blessings. Oh God, would you work in us today? This first day of the new year, strike our chord in our hearts. That we would say, I don't care what happens. My thigh may be out of joint. I may not be able to do much, but I'm going to cling to the precious promises of God. And be what may in 2017, I will not let thee go except thou bless me, and then I still won't let go. Lord, you've been so good to us in 2016. And we know the same good God is in 2017, waiting to go step by step and hand in hand with us. And so, Lord, the course is unknown to us, but it's known to you. And God, may we cling to you each and every step of the way. Lord, I pray that through the text message today, we might see some things that we can get a hold of, apply it to our lives, and use it in 2017. Bless the message. Lord, fill me with your spirit. Allow me to speak, thus saith the Lord God. And Lord, may Christians be encouraged today. And maybe there's one today without Jesus Christ. Lord, speak to that man, speak to that woman, speak to that boy or girl. They would not let go of the conviction until they give it to you, Lord Jesus, repenting of sin and calling on Lord Jesus Christ to be saved. Lord, help us to say at the end of this service, it's been good to be in thy house today. Bless now in the message and the song. And Lord, may you get all praise, honor, and glory. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated.
You hold high the light one by one.
Each one, reach one. That was our theme for last year, and so I wanted to make sure we closed out the year and as well as bring in the new year with that thought on our minds and our hearts. And looking at the I will not let go. Put yourself in Jacob's shoes just for a moment. Have you ever been there when you did something wrong and then you had to go back and face that person, whether it was mom or dad or sister or brother? Or, you know, whoever it was, you know, you had to go back and face, and you were a little frightful about going back. You know, I recall the time when I was 15 years old, didn't have driver's license, and all my friends could drive their cars. And many of you know this story already. And I told my friends that I could drive, too. And they said, you can, so you get the car, and we're going to go out tonight. I said, fine, you just had to go in the garage with me and help me push it out into the street and down the road, and then we can go. And so they helped me push it out and to the street and down the road. I started up. We were on our merry way doing what teenagers normally do, getting into foolishness and sin. And after all the foolishness was over, I did the unthinkable and I began to come home thinking that everybody was still asleep. Lo and behold, up in the top window, my sister's silhouette of her head is there. And I think, that's not good. She sees the car and she knows it's me and she knows I don't have any driver's license. I circled the block thinking, what shall I do? Going to live with grandma's not going to work. She'll beat me too. Driving to Chicago and live with my cousins. That's true, but I thought, now they'll catch me up there too. Drove around the block again. Then there's another silhouette up there. This time it's mom. I thought, I am really in trouble now. I don't want to go see mom. And so I did what Jacob did. I start scheming. How can I face mom without her killing me? And so I went back and got the same guys that I had went into foolishness with and said, guys, come on, I need to go back home and see my mom. And she's a little upset. And I didn't tell them that I couldn't take the car. I didn't tell them I didn't have any driver's license. I didn't tell them that mom seeing me by myself would probably kill me, much like Esau and Jacob. And so I brought my friends in and my mom was in the kitchen there. And my friends, I said, come on in, guys. And I looked at my mom. My mom took one look at me and grabbed me in the shirt collar and jacked me up against the wall. And my mother is shorter than I am. And she picked me up with superhuman strength. And it was about that time that I said, y'all can leave. Y'all can go home. You don't want to see this. And I didn't want them to see what was about to happen. Needless to say, that story didn't turn out too good. I believe Jacob feels similar to that. He has been told by God that he needs to go back. He's just lied to his father and he's just swindled him out of the birthright again for a second time. And this time he has sped off to Padan Aram. He's gone out there, got him a wife at his mother's command. And Laban has tricked him several times, changed his wages, and just made a mockery of Jacob's life. And Jacob gets wind of that he is really ornery towards him because Jacob, at being the schemer that he is, takes pretty much just everything Laban has. And Laban is kind of upset with him and he's really about to latch hold of him, and God intervenes and said, you need to go back home. And about that time he's thankful, I get to go home, praise God. And on the way he thought, but Esau's back there. About the same way I felt. If I go back home, mom's there. Well, I should never took the car in the first place. If you've ever done something and didn't have to face the very person that can mete out the judgment or mete out the punishment against you or is responsible for handling your case, it's a feeling of bewilderment, I might say, discouragement, fear, despair. If we open 2017, there's much that we don't know. However, one thing we do know, God is still on the throne. Now, if I were a saved young teenager at that time, I could have said, the worst mom can do is kill me and I'm going to heaven. Matter of fact, I might as well do it myself. But I wasn't saved then, so I wasn't thinking like that. But you and I should be thinking that way. 2017, we may find ourselves in some overwhelming situations directed by God, much like Jacob finds himself here being told to return home, having to face Esau. During these times of overwhelming situations in 2017, and in all times, you and I must not let go of the person of God. Why? He's still on the throne. We should not let go of the promises of God nor his power either. Why? It's God who directed him to go back home. If God tells us to go somewhere, then we ought to go in his presence and go in his power with his promise, no matter how overwhelming it may be. Don't let go. Let me encourage you, don't let go of the will of God through disappointments, through discouragements. Though disgruntled people may come your pathway and distant people and demanding situation, and you may have depressed feelings, etc., and all known I can go, some things we do need to let go of. One thing we never should let go of is the presence of God. Never let go of the presence of God. Never let go of that relationship with God. That's where the blessings are, and that's where the blesser is. Jacob finds himself here being directed by God to return to face Esau in chapter number 31 and verse number 3 after he had deceived his brother years ago. Notice verse 3 of chapter 31 again. He says this, and the Lord said unto Jacob, return unto the land of thy fathers and to thy kindred, and I will be with thee. God gave him a promise. God said, you know what? I want you to return home. Don't worry, I'm going to be with you. What is that? That's the promise of God. God said, if you go, I'm going to be with you. You don't have to worry about that. I'll be with you. Hey, Christian, we know that God's going to be with us. He said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. He said, lo, I am with thee always, even to the end of the world. So we know going into 2017, we got the precious promises of God. God is still maturing Jacob just like he's maturing us. And Jacob knew going forward that he had the promise of God and the presence of God. But Jacob was not as mature as he needed to be. Therefore, you find Jacob scheming again. First of all, going forward in 2017, like Jacob, God desires to mature us as well. And we should go forward, not letting go of the promises of God. Did God already tell Jacob to go? Yes, he did. And then this year, 2017, is an open door for you and I. We must go through it. However, as we go, don't let go of the precious promises. What is that promise? I will be with you. God said, I will be with you. David said it this way. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For thou art what? Say it with me. With me. Hey, I don't care the valleys. I don't care the rivers. I don't care the mountaintops. As long as God is with me, I can do anything. I want you to consider the first point. Don't let go of the precious promises we know. Hold on. Jacob had, first of all, unexpected changes in guidance. Unexpected changes in guidance. You and I, too, may have a change in guidance from God in 2017. God may direct us into that which we are not used to or not comfortable with. Maybe it's going to be a ministry. Maybe it'll be a job. Maybe it'll be a situation with a child. Maybe a situation with a parent. Maybe it may be with school. It may be something that I'm not used to, I'm not comfortable with, I don't like it, but you have an unexpected change in guidance. What are you going to do? I can tell you one thing that you ought to do. Don't let go. If God said, go through it, then go through it. If God's directed, then go. If God said, I will be with you, then guess what? He's going to be with you. He's going to be with you. He already gave him the promise in chapter number 31. Jacob had unexpected changes in guidance. With this unexpected changes in guidance, first of all, notice Jacob had consistent protection. Notice chapter 32, verse number 1. Jacob went on his way and the angels of God met him. Praise God. He's going, but he's got some guidance, some protection, some consistent protection. By the way, God was with him all the way. When Jacob saw them, he said, this is God's host. And he called the name of that place Mahanaim, meaning two hosts, basically. Say, preacher, what does that mean, two hosts? Jacob had his host and God had his. Jacob had his wife and his wives and his sons and his servants and all of his. And God had his angels protecting him. And by the way, the angels were with him the whole way, but God allows him to see them on this opportunity. By the way, God may not allow you to see the angels, but guess what? They're there nonetheless. And you may not be able to see them, but the angels are there. Just as sure as the demons are there, the angels are there. And we have more than him. Not only do we have the angels of God, we've got the Spirit of God. We've got the Word of God. We've got the armor of God. We've got the house of God. We've got the saints of God. Jacob didn't have any of that. We are more equipped than Jacob ever was. So Jacob had unexpected change in guidance, but with this unexpected change, he had consistent protection. God tells us to go in 2017. He will always be with us, and so we don't need to let go. But then with this consistent protection, you think that would be enough that Jacob would say, oh, hey, now what is Esau against all these angels? What is Esau against my family? He got word that Jacob, that he was going to come back with 400 men. Now, last time I checked my Old Testament, God slew 186,000 with one angel. So what's 400? But see, Jacob still needs some maturing in his life. And even with consistent protection, he doesn't quite get it yet. He still has his old nature. What's his old nature? Scheming, planning, preparing, making sure that I got all bases covered. You know how we can do sometimes. Well, God, I hear what you're saying, but let me help you out a little bit. I assure you, God doesn't need our help. So Jacob had unexpected changes in guidance, but he still had consistent protection in verses 1 and 2. Verses 4 and 5, he starts to pacify. Jacob starts pacifying, even with these unexpected changes. Notice verse 5. He says down there in verse number 5, I have oxen and asses, flocks and manservants and women servants, and I have sent to tell my Lord, that's Esau, that I may find grace in thy sight. And so in other words, he tells his servant, go down there and tell Esau that we've got all this stuff. I got a lot of stuff. And some of this stuff can be your stuff if you just don't hurt me. I got stuff. I got a lot of stuff. Now, you see it on TV. Somebody tries to hold someone up, and they say, well, I got a lot of money. And I got money in hidden places that you don't know about. If you don't hurt me, I'll show you where the money is. Jacob said, I got a lot of stuff. He starts pacifying. Why? He's not as mature as he thinks he is. God told him to go back, but he says, well, you know what? You're not ready just yet. You're still trying to pacify and do things your own way. Don't we try and do things our own way? God, I know you got a plan, but I got a better plan. Let me give him some stuff. So Jacob had consistent protection, but then Jacob starts pacifying. But then that's not bad enough. He starts preparing. He starts dividing things up with his family. Notice verse number 7. Then Jacob was greatly afraid. Why was he afraid? Notice the end of verse number 6. And also he cometh to meet thee with 400 men with him. Then Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed. And he divided the people that was with him and the flocks and herds and the camels into two bands. So basically, Jacob said, all right, half of my stuff is going to go that way. Half of my stuff is going to go this way. And so instead of pacifying, then he began preparing. He said, let me divide this stuff up. And so if something happens to this, I still got this. Notice verse 8. And he said, if Esau come to the one company and smite it, then the other company which is left shall escape. Maybe come and help me. That's what he's thinking. And after the consistent protection he has, and after the pacifying that he starts to do, and the preparing that he starts to do, he starts doing what he should have did, number one, praying. Praying. You and I can chalk up most of our failures to prayer failures. Can I get an amen? We have missionaries out there on the field. You know why our missionaries don't make it sometimes? Because we stop praying. They leave with the express prayer request that pray for me. Keep me on the field. Your finances will get me there, but your prayers will keep me there. Prayer. Jacob finally starts praying. Notice what he says down here in verse number 9. Jacob said, O God of my father Abraham and God of my father Isaac, the Lord, which said unto me, return unto thy country and to thy kindred, and I will deal with it. You know what Jacob is doing? He's saying, God, these are your words. You told me to go. You know, one of the things that you can hang on to as a promise, the word of God. If God said it, hold him accountable. Lord, you said children obey your parents in the Lord. That's why I'm doing what I'm doing to my children. You said honor thy father and thy mother. That's why I'm doing what I'm doing. You said husbands love your wife. That's why I'm doing what I'm doing. It says wives be submissive to your own husbands. That's why I'm doing what I'm doing. Lord, I'm doing it for you. This is your word. Help me do it. You're going to pray? You pray the promises of God. The only thing Jacob has at this point is a promise of God. God said, go, and I'll be with you. If God's given us a promise, go, and don't let go. Don't let go. He said, Lord, you said this. Notice down in verse number 10. I'm not worthy of the least of all the mercies and all the truth which thou hast showed unto thy servants. For with my staff I passed over this Jordan, and now I'm become two bands. Deliver me, I pray thee, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him, lest he come and smite me and mother with children. Notice verse 12 again. And thou said, I will surely do thee good and make thy seed as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered for multitude. And so after the consistent protection, after trying to pacify and trying to prepare, he starts praying. He said, Lord, this is what you said. And I've done this and I've done this and I've done that. And Lord, I need your help. We need to pray. I've done all I can do. I've prepared, I've pacified, I've planned. And almost as if he didn't hear his own prayer. Verse 13. He lodged there that same night and took of that which came to his hand a present for Esau's brother. Now, didn't you just hear your own prayer? Didn't you just say, God, you said you'd be with me and God, I want you to deliver me? And he's still scheming. You know why? He's not mature yet. He's not able to fully trust the promise of God. And may I say, Christian, I think sometimes we're not fully mature yet because we're not able to trust the promises of God. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
If God said it, that settles it. But he's still trying to present. Now he's pacifying, he's preparing, he's praying, but then he's presenting all over again. Notice verse number 13 again. He says, he lies there and took of his hand a present for Esau, his brother. Notice verse number 18. And then shalt thou say, they be thy servant Jacob's. It is a what? Present sent unto my lord Esau. Behold, also he is behind us. Notice verse number 20. And say ye moreover, behold, thy servant Jacob is behind us. For he said, I will appease him with the present that goeth before me. And afterwards, I will see his face peradventure. He will accept me. Over and over again, you see present, present. What is he doing? He's dividing them all up and he's saying, here, you say it's a present. Here, you say it's a present. Here, you say it's a present. I'm going to pacify him. I'm going to try and appease him. I'm going to try and do all these things, even though I just prayed about it. Now, sometimes we do need to work. This is not one of those times. You find out the conclusion of the story. Jacob, Esau didn't even want his stuff. He took it anyway, but he didn't want it. Notice verse number 21. So went the present over before him and himself lodged that night in the company. He rose up that night and took his two wives and his two women servants and his 11 sons and passed over the ford Jabbok. And he took them and sent them over the brook and sent over that he had. After the protection that was consistent, the pacifying, the preparing, the praying, and the presenting, he still was going on. 2017, God may give you and I some unexpected changes and guidance. If he does, don't try to pacify the situation. Don't try to present the situation. Don't try to plan unless God tells you to plan. Just go. We get ourselves into so many problems because we try to plan it. We try to prepare it. We're trying to pacify. We're trying to appease people. It's not about people, folks. In 2017, it's got to be about the Lord. Am I going to please him and step out on his promises or not? That's what it's going to be about. Because pleasing people is going to get you nowhere. And that's exactly what Jacob's trying to do. Let me appease him. Well, if you hadn't done him wrong, you wouldn't have to do that. Can I get an amen? We need to stop doing people wrong. Going forward in 2017, like Jacob, we may have to go forward not letting go of the promises of God, not through just unknown changes in guidance, but unknown chances for grief. Notice verse number 11 again. Unknown grief. He makes three statements there. He says, I fear him. He said, lest he come and smite me and the mother and the children. Notice verse number 11 again. Deliver me, I pray thee, from the head of my brother. In the hand of Esau. Why? For I fear him. What's he going to do? Lest he come and smite me, my mother, with the children. What am I saying here? He had to go forward even with unknown chances for grief. By the way, you and I have known chances for grief in 2017 and unknown. There's some things that you know can definitely go wrong in 2017. There's some things that you expect might go wrong in 2017. There's some things that you have no clue that's going to happen in 2017. I just got a phone call a week before Christmas. My dad's brother, which is my uncle, died of an aneurysm, a brain aneurysm. Most of you medical know what that is. It's a weak blood vessel in the brain. They found my uncle. He was laying down at the railroad station there where he worked at with his arms folded across his chest like he had just fallen asleep. The blood vessel had ruptured in his head and killed him instantly. My dad was in a car accident several years later and had his neck injured, and they went and did a scan on him, and they found out that he had the same thing in his brain, except they were able to catch it and cap it off. 1991. That's when he got saved. So from that point on, my mother said, look, son, you need to always make sure if you get headaches, you need to go and get it checked because it runs in your family. The call I got last week, my uncle's son, which is Rodney Dawson, which is my first cousin, has a son in his 20s, died of the same exact thing, aneurysm. In his 20s, that was unknown. It took everybody by absolute surprise. 27 years old to be taken? That was totally unknown. Now, some folks have one foot already in heaven. Others are looking forward to heaven. But when the unknown happens, you think, what just happened here? It shocked people. And you begin to think about your own mortality and how you could step off into eternity. And so there's a known side of 2017, but there's an unknown side. Jacob here has this unknown chance for grief. He says, I don't know what's going to happen, but Lord, I need you to protect me. Notice what it says down in verse number 23. And he took them and sent them over the brook and sent over that he had. With these unknown certainties, and after sending the family this way and sending some of the family this way and sending all his goods off, the unknown chances for grief becomes a little bit more into his face. The unknown chances, unknown changes in the guidance becomes a little bit more personal. That's when he's left alone. Notice verse 24. And Jacob was left alone. And there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of day. Sometimes it's good to be alone. And sometimes you don't want to be alone. This is probably one of the times that Jacob really doesn't want to be alone. Why did he want? I'm already afraid. What if Esau got one of his men scouts come in here and kill me? But I've got to protect my family, so you guys go that way. I got to protect my family, you guys go that way. I got to pacify, got to prepare, I got to plan, I got to please him, I got to do all these things, and so I'm here all by myself. May I suggest to you that when you're by yourself, your true character truly comes out. Why? You don't have to pacify anybody. You don't have to please anybody. You don't have to plan for anybody. You don't have to prepare for anybody. Your true character comes out when you're by yourself. What do you watch when you're by yourself? What do you listen to when you're by yourself? Where do you go when you're by yourself? That's the true you. See, when people are around, we dress up and yeah, I'm all that, you know. But when the lights go out and you're by yourself, the true you comes out. What do you really do when nobody's around? Jacob finds himself that way, and clinging to the promises of God, begins to turn to something else. Not just the promises of God, Jacob had to go forward, not letting go the person of God. And he had to go through unbelievable challenges from God. Notice the first challenge is he's left alone. When we're left alone, our true character shows, and we may have some unbelievable challenges from God this year. Some may be some financial challenges from God, some medical challenges from God, educational challenges, occupational challenges, some emotional challenges, spiritual, relational, on and on we can go. But our true character will be revealed when you and I are alone and we face challenges from God. And the question is, will we behave spiritual or carnal? spiritual or carnal. Jacob has divided up his family, divided up his fortune. He sends them all away by groups. He's pacified. He's trying to prepare. He's presented to Esau. Now he's all alone. But often it's not until we're all alone that God can deal with us and our true character. When we're alone, we're not trying to please everybody. I want you to notice the first thing that Jacob does when he's alone. He begins to fight in the flesh. You say, but there's a stranger there. Jacob should have known the hosts of God were there. And the hosts of God not going to let anything happen to him. Because he already promised him that I'll be with you. He already promised. So preacher, what's really going on right here? I'll tell you what's really going on right here. Jacob had to come to the end of himself. Jacob had to stop pacifying people, stop trying to please people, stop trying to prepare for people, stop planning for people, and just please God. He had to come to the end of himself. He's done all this for Esau when God said, I'll protect you. I'll take care of you. You've got my consistent protection. You've got the host there. You've called him a Hanian. It means two hosts, your host and my host. I got this, Joseph or Jacob. But he's wrestling. You know what that's a picture of? That's a picture of you and I wrestling with God and the will of God. That's what that's a picture of. Because the will of God was for him to go and let God fight the battle. Instead of letting God fight the battle, Jacob finds himself wrestling with God. Jacob is all alone wrestling. He's fighting in the flesh, and the Bible still says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of the world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Not realizing he's fighting God, he fights in the flesh. But then he fails in the flesh in verse number 25. When he saw that he prevailed not against him, that's the angel of the Lord, he touched the hollow of his thigh. God allowed himself to be overcome by Jacob just so that Jacob could see that Jacob was fighting in the flesh. And that his flesh sooner or later would fail him. He touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh and was out of joint as he wrestled with him. So Jacob fights in the flesh. He fails in the flesh. Hip socket being out of joint is kind of hard to wrestle when you got a broken hip. May I submit to you that God breaks us to make us? God breaks us so that we're not depending on us. Jacob has been depending on his schemes, his plans, his methodology, his planning, his preparing, his pacifying towards people. And God said, look, son, it's about me, not anybody else. If I said I'll protect you, stand on my promise, I'll protect you. Don't let go. Unbelievable as the changes in guidance were, unexpected as the changes were, unbelievable as the challenge from God was, he's still fighting in the flesh. And once the hip socket was broken, he was touched. Notice what he says down there. And he said, let me go, for the day breaketh. Obviously, once the wrestling match was done being stalemated and the angel touched him in the hollow of the thigh and his hip was broken, obviously, Jacob still had a grip on him. I'm not going to let you go. This ain't over till it's over. By the way, it was over before it even started. Can mere mortal hold God without God's approval? No. And so God just let that so that Jacob could see Jacob. Because Jacob needed to see Jacob. And Jacob now is at his rope. I don't have my flesh no more. What am I going to do? I still got my arms. I'll cling. Jacob fights in the flesh. He fails in the flesh, but then he fastens in faith. He clings for a blessing. He said, I will not let thee go except thou bless me. What am I talking about? Don't let go of God's presence and God's promises or God's person before you get a blessing. And then still don't let go. Why? The arm of flesh will fail you. You dare not trust your own. Amen. Sooner or later, your plans are going to come to an end. Jacob fastens in faith. All Jacob's life, he wanted the blessing of God more than Esau, even down to scheming and tricking to get it. God finally has Jacob where he needs him and right where he wants him. He's humbled in his flesh. He's without fleshly help. No scheming left. Only clinging to God in total and absolute dependence on God's blessing. Because Jacob is empty of himself and clinging to his Savior, now God can work in him. Jacob could now go forward because of not letting go of the person of God. I want you to pay close attention to this next part. Jacob received, because he's crippled now, and because he can't fight anymore, and because he's clinging, and because he's saying, I won't let go except you bless me. God says, all right, the blessing you want, the blessing you're going to get. I was trying to get you down to this, trying to get you away from things, giving you unexpected guidance. When you least expected, I changed directions on you. I gave you my host. I gave you a company. I gave you these things. You still try to please your brother. And that's not what I want. What I want is for you to admit who you really are. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
What God wants from you and I is to admit who we really are before we go into 2017. Who we really are. God said, I isolated you. You sent everything away. You tried appeasing. You tried pacifying. You tried all these things, planning and preparing. I want you to know who you really are. Notice what he says. Jacob received unlimited channel of grace because of not letting go. He received a name change in life. Notice verse number 27. He said unto him, what is thy name? You say, preacher. God knows what his name is. God does. You're saying Jacob knows what his name is. Last time Jacob was asked what his name was, what did he say? My name is Esau. Last time he was asked about his name, he said, I'm Esau. Isaac said, are you my very son Esau? He said, I am. He said, what is your name? Go back to chapter 27, verse number 19. This is how all this junk got started in the first place. Chapter 27, verse 19. When asked about his name, notice what it says, picking up in verse number 18. He came unto his father, that's Jacob, and said, my father. And he said, here am I. Who art thou, my son? And Jacob said unto his father, I am who? I am Esau, thy firstborn. You liar. You trickster. You schemer. It's not your name. I have done according as thou badest me. Arise, and I pray thee, sit and eat my venison, that thy soul may bless me. See, still, I just want the blessing. And Isaac said unto his son, how is it that thou hast found it so quickly, my son? And he said, because the Lord thy God brought it to me. And Isaac said unto Jacob, come near, I pray thee, that I may feel thee, my son, whether thou be my very son Esau or not. And Jacob went near unto Isaac, his father, and he felt him and said, the voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau. And he discerned him not, and because his hands were hairy as his brother Esau's hands, so he blessed him. And he said, art thou my very son Esau? And he said, I am. See, God had to get Jacob to the point where Jacob knew who Jacob was. See, last time you were asked about your name, you lied. Jacob, you know who you are? You're a trickster. Jacob, you're a deceiver. Jacob, you're a liar. You're a cheat. You're a person that's trying to get what he wants by planning and scheming and preparing and appeasing people to get your way. And you need to admit it, son. I wonder sometimes, do we do the same thing with God? We try to barter with God, try to please people when it's God all along. Go back to chapter number 32. So it becomes significant as to why the angel of the Lord or the Lord said, what is thy name? And he said, Jacob, I'm a trickster, I'm a heel catcher, I'm a schemer, I'm a liar. That's who I am. I'm confessing that from birth I've been that way. It's not changed. I'm still scheming. You gave me a promise. You said you'd be with me. I didn't trust your promise. I trust my plans and my schemes, and I'm going to do it my way. God gave him unexpected changes and guidance. And God gave him all these challenges along the way, and God said, son, the greatest challenges to you is you. How often people's greatest challenge, oftentimes, is themselves. Themselves. God can't do anything because they're in the way. And God said, what's your name? Who are you? You know who you are. And Jacob had to say, I know who I am. I already can't move my legs. I'm lame in my legs. I've got to hold on to you. He said, one last thing. I've crippled you now. You're dependent on me. Let me change your name. He said, verse 28. He said, thy name should be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God, and with men has prevailed. He should have wrestled in prayer more than wrestling in the flesh. And so God not only gave him a name change in life, he gave him a nature change as well. He had to confess who he was. He had to admit who he was. And he had to say, like we have to say, Lord, I'm only a sinner, but hallelujah, I'm saved by grace. Lord, I'm just a wretched sinner. I'm miserable. I'm undone without you. Lord, I'm nothing without the person of God. I'll cling. I won't let go. Because I'm not involved in getting the blessings. I want the blesser. I want the blesser. By the way, if you've got the blesser, you'll always have the blessings. Jacob's admission was followed by submission. Jacob received a new nature. Verse 29, notice what he says down there. And Jacob asked him and said, tell me, I pray thee, thy name. And he said, wherefore is it that thou ask after my name? And he blessed him there. He got the blessing. But it wasn't until God had to bring him face to face with who he was and what he needed to do. He needed to admit who he was. He was a trickster, a liar. Folks, it's not until you and I admit to God who we really are. He already knows, but do we know? I'm selfish. I'm conceited. I'm a grudge holder. I'm a liar. Lord, I'm unforgiving. I'm bitter. God, this is me. If we don't call it off, then we're not going to get the blessings. Sometimes God's got to strip us of everything that we've got. Jacob is stripped of everything. Everything that meant something to him is gone. He blessed him there. Jacob would limp in life, but spiritually he's trusting his Savior, not his foolish flesh. He's not perfect, but God is perfecting him step by step. Notice what it says in verse number 30. Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I've seen God face to face and my life is preserved. He said, I know who this was that I was wrestling against. I was wrestling against God. Oftentimes we wrestle with God through the will of God. God says, go and do this. And we say, I don't want to do that. And we wrestle. It's best just to do it. Now Jacob could handle new changes in life. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18 says, but we all with open face beholding as in the glass the glory of the Lord are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Galatians 5:16, this I say, then walk in the Spirit and shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Jacob can now face Esau and any other changes in life, in his life. And so can you and I. When we cling to the person of God and we dismiss our flesh, because the flesh will fail us sooner or later. Hey, friend, don't wrestle with the will of God in 2017. Don't let go of God's person. Go with God and say, God, if you told me to go, I'm going. If you told me to do it, I'm doing it. I'm not going to plan. I'm not going to prepare. I'm not going to do all these things unless you tell me to. Lord, I'm going with your promises. I'm going with your host. Lord, I'm going against all odds. I'm going against these challenges. I'm going against these changes. I'm going with a chance of grief. Lord, I'm going because I know the channel of blessing is you. I'm going. I don't care what people say. I'm going. And I'm not going to let go. I don't know about you, but I said that a long time ago. When I started this church, I said, God, I don't care if everybody leaves this church. I said, I'm going to still be here. I said that back in 2001 and started that church. I said, Lord, if nobody here, if just me and you are here, that's all I need. That's all I need. That's all I need. Anything else is a blessing. Anything else is a surplus. Anything else is gravy. But Lord, as long as you're here, I ain't going nowhere. I don't care who leaves. I don't care who's disgruntled. I don't care who's deceived. I don't care who's demanding. I don't care, Lord. I'm not going to let go. And folks, that was 15 years ago. And guess what? I ain't going to let go. What'd he say? I will not let thee go except thou bless me. I'm more concerned about the blesser than the blessings. And I don't know about you, but God is going to bring some challenges and some changes and some chances for grief your way this year. And you can either start doing like Jacob and scheming, or you can just trust the promise of God and say, God, you do what you need to do. And you direct me as you lead. And let me just step out, step by step, by step by step. I said it once before, and I'm glad that God doesn't show us the whole journey.
Amen, Pastor.
If God showed you the journey from point A to the end of your life, you would probably drop dead. If God would have showed me the journey just in these 15 years, I would have never started this church. I would say, you got to be kidding me. You want me to surrender for that? No, I don't think so. No. Hey, a lot of Christians say it. I can do better in the world. No, you can't. Don't you even deceive yourself like that. I can do better in the world. The world doesn't treat me that way. Oh, yes, they do. Treat you a whole lot worse. At least for God's people, I can pray for them. Only thing I can pray for the unsaved that they get saved. Amen. Hey, folks, as we go into 2017, Jacob said it best. I will not let thee go except thou bless me. He asked him his name. He said, what's your name? Who are you? What's your character like? He said, Lord, you know. You know. You know who I am. He said, the Lord blessed him. He got exactly what he was looking for. But what did God have to do? He had to mature him. 2017 is going to be a maturing year for you and for me. God wants to mature us to look more like Jesus Christ this year. So a preacher already looked like him. Not the way Jesus wants you to, though. All of us can mature a little bit more. I know I can. I know there's a whole lot of ways I need to mature in. All I got to say is, who are you, Greg Dawson? Oh, boy, he's got work to do on you. That's all I got to say. Lord, you know me. And he said, yeah, I do, but do you know you? Unfortunately, yes, Lord, I do know me. He said, we got work to do, son. We got work to do. I venture to say God's trying to mature you as well. The process is not going to be easy. The process is not going to be smooth. The process may hurt. The process may seem a little difficult. You may want to start planning and preparing and scheming like Jacob did. If God doesn't tell you to do it, don't do it. Don't do it. You do what God directs and his promises. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. I don't know what God's laid on your heart today. But I know as I went through this message, I saw myself like Jacob. Lord, I know me. I can be a trickster. I can be a whole lot of things. One of the things that I know that I'm not, Lord, is what I need to be. And Lord, I want to be what you want me to be. Father, bless now these next moments of invitation. With heads bowed and eyes closed, no one looking around, how many would say, preacher, I need prayer. I'm not what I need to be. And in 2017, I want to surrender to the will of God and let God do what he needs to do in my life. Now, be careful. Be careful. If you say yes, God may guide you differently than what you expect. God may do some things that may seem a little hard to you. But we should still say, Lord, help me. I'm going to say, preacher, pray for me. I want God to do in 2017 whatever he needs to do in my life. I don't want to let go. I want to do that. Amen. Hands going up all over the place. And if you're smart, you've got one or two ways you may put them down. You can do it that way by saying, God, what is it you want me to do? I surrender. Or you can do it the hard way and you can wrestle with God like Jacob did. You can come up with a limp like Jacob. I don't want that. I don't want to wrestle with God and come up with a limp. So one way or another, God says, you know, Jacob, you're still stubborn, so let me go ahead and give you some things. And let me cripple you so that you have no other thing but me to depend upon. You don't want to go through the crippling of God. Surrender. Admit who you are. Admit what God is trying to do and let him do it. I will not let go except thou bless me. How many would say, preacher, I'm not saved today. I need to get saved. Would you pray for me? I need to get saved. I'm concerned about my salvation. Would you pray for me? Some of you perhaps need to get discipled. Some of you perhaps need to get baptized. Some of you perhaps need to join this church. Whatever it is that God has laid upon your heart, would you do it? Father, bless now in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand to our feet. Our heads are bowed. Our eyes are closed. In 2017, why don't you come on down to an old-fashioned altar and say, I will not let go. I will not let go as the music plays. I will not let go, Lord. I'm going to hold on to your person. I'm going to hold on to your promises. I'm not going to let go. A lot of other folks may fall by the wayside. A lot of other folks may give up, but I'm not going to give up. I will not let go. How about it today? We don't know what's going to happen in 2017. God may give you some unexpected changes in guidance. There may be some unknown chances for grief. There may be some unbelievable challenges from God that you just did not expect to have. Are you going to wrestle with God? Are you going to wrestle with the will of God? Oh, God has ways of changing us. Oh, don't let God have to deal with you. To let him have his way. To let him have his way. I will not let thee go. I will not let thee go. 2017, unexpected changes to guidance. God may lead you in a way differently than what you're used to. He may use a person that you're not used to. He may use a situation that you did not expect. It may be a coworker, maybe a Christian, maybe a family member, maybe a mom or dad, a sister or brother, maybe a total stranger to you. But God may use them. Unexpected changes in guidance, but he had constant and consistent protection. The angels, the hosts were there all the way. All the way. Always there's an unknown chance for grief. We don't know what to expect. It could be dangerous. Jacob said, I fear him. He may come and smite me. He may smite the mother. He may smite the children. I fear him. Unbelievable challenges from God. He was all alone. Fighting in the flesh, failing in the flesh, but finally fastening in faith and clinging. He said, I won't let you go unless you bless me. That's what I wanted all along. God crippled him, humbled him, gave him a name change, gave him a nature change. Now Jacob could handle any change from that point on. Was he perfect? No, he wasn't perfect. But he could still go on and face Esau. He could face other challenges that happened. The massacre at Shechem, his daughter being defiled. Many, many other challenges that came down the road. His sons killing someone. He could face those changes now. He could face all of that. Why? His nature was changed. Now he wasn't the trickster that he used to be. Oh, he still wasn't mature. God's still working on him. But he's not the trickster he used to be. He's not the deceiver he used to be. I will not let go. I will not let thee go. What is God trying to do in your life? Father, this first service of the new year, I thank you so much that we can look at men like Jacob, and Lord, I am so much like him. Lord, trying to prepare and trying to plan and trying to please and appease. Lord, my focus should be you. Clinging to you and the promises that you give and the person that you are. Oh, Lord, help us to go into 2017 not so much concerned about people first, but pleasing God first. Lord, we are reminded that you said thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, and soul. But then we're also reminded you said thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. If Jacob hadn't crossed his brother, he wouldn't be in that predicament in the first place. It's not about pleasing and appeasing. Lord, it's about serving others for the glory of God. Help us, Lord. We don't know what challenges will come our way this year. Help us to admit like Jacob, this is my name. This is my character. This is who I am. This is what I do. Lord, you know me better than anyone. And then, Lord, help us to go forward clinging to the precious person of God and clinging to the promises of God. Lord, we don't know what this year may hold. Some may not see the entire year out. Others may be bought into this year. Some may go, some may stay. But one thing we do know, Lord, we will not let thee go. Bless us, Lord. Bless this church. Bless me as a pastor. Bless my family. Help us to be able to stand. And Lord, bless each member here that they too may be able to not just stand, but withstand the pressure of 2017 and the problems of 2017 and say with resolve, I will not let thee go. Thou art our God. Thank you, Lord, for loving us. Lord, we thank you and love you in Jesus' name.